Why, hello there. My name is Evan, and welcome to Wednesday's episode of Locked On Cavs, your number one Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network. I've been informed by the nation's top scientists that the Cavaliers are off until Thursday, and since the team isn't the greatest, they aren't going to be making the news. You know, saying that out loud, I probably just jinxed it. But this evening I'll be down to co-host as Chris Manning had a flight to catch for Florida, so he could escape the frozen Northeast Ohio hellscape, also because of work. Since his arms are probably tired from all that flying, I told him to take the night off and rest up. Depending on how today goes, he may regret that. So to help me out today, I'm joined by the always effervescent Ty Windisch, host of the Eurostep podcast, reporter on all things Milwaukee Bucks and Wisconsin Herd, and an overall amazing guy. He's also really good at Pokemon. Hydreigon is his favorite. But if you want to support Ty, the best way to do it's on Patreon, which I'll link in the show notes below. He gives amazing analysis on every major NBA move and transaction, and I can honestly say Ty has made me smarter because of it. I don't regret subscribing to Ty one bit, and the gun isn't being held to my head, I swear. This is genuine. But, you know, he's also hoping that one day someone will subscribe to the Peloton tier. Maybe that can be you. Who knows? Tax season is right around the corner. With that said, sit back, enjoy a frosty beverage, and let Ty and I take your mind, body, and soul through the buck wild experience that is Locked On Cavs. Thanks for listening, and happy Wednesday.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back, everyone, to Locked On Cavs, where today I'm joined by Ty Windisch. Ty is the host of the Eurostep podcast, gives outstanding coverage of the Milwaukee Bucks and their G League affiliate, the Wisconsin Herd, and he also gives outstanding analysis of all things NBA if you're subscribed to his Patreon. This is a plug to say you should subscribe to him on Patreon. But hey, Ty, how's it going, man?
I'm good. I'm glad to be on the prestigious Locked On Cavs podcast. Certainly a top two Cavaliers podcast out there, and I'm just happy to be back again.
See, Ty, I'm unapologetic, and I'll just ask straight up, how does it feel to be on the number one Cavs podcast? And, you know, we'll leave your Blue Wire coworkers unnamed here, but they know who they are.
It feels great. It really does feel great, Evan, I've got to admit.
There you go. And even though you probably heard in the open, I'm just saying this to the masses right now, the Cavs are off until Thursday, and I'm going to keep it 100 with y'all. And I wanted to bring Ty in to talk more so about the Bucks and how they're kind of being slept on as the best team in the NBA. And, you know, we're going to touch a little bit on why pre-agency is actually legitimately the worst and why small market teams matter. But before we do that, did you guys happen to see what Cavalier Good Guy and fan favorite Channing Frye said on Twitter? I know Ty did because I sent it to him. Yeah. He described the Bucks as having no interesting storyline and that their dominance is, in all capital letters, boring. Channing went on the tweet saying the Bucks in the playoffs is must-see TV, but the Bucks in regular season is like eating unseasoned chicken, LOL. Ty, let me just let you take the floor here and just, why is Channing so wrong here, and should you be the analyst for the Portland Trailblazers instead of him?
I definitely don't think I should be the analyst instead of Channing. I feel like people are a lot more interested in what Channing has to say for a lot of reasons.
Shooting all these loaded questions at you.
I know. This is a tough one. No, but I do disagree with Channing. I really don't get where the boring thing comes from. I really think it's just people's minds take a long time to change on stuff. So Everybody assumes the Bucks are boring because they haven't really mattered really since until, you know, Giannis and everything. They hadn't really mattered since like 2001. Their most significant moment as a franchise between then and now was Brandon Jennings saying the Bucks are going to win in six, and then they lost in four to the Heatles. Like, that was number one. So I get why people are slow adapters here, and then I think the disappointing loss to Toronto last year made a lot of people who started to get excited about the Bucks kind of not believe in them, because we live in, like, this crazy all-or-nothing basketball culture where if you don't win the finals, basically you're a huge disappointment and a fraud, and you're done, even though Giannis like just turned 26 or 25, I think. He just turned 25. I think that's why people think the Bucks are boring. I don't think it's from actually watching Bucks basketball, because they're a lot of fun. I mean, Giannis is dynamic and really fun to watch. They shoot threes, but not in a terrible Rockets way, and like a fun, they move the ball around and find open threes. I mean, they dominate teams, so I could see how it could get a little boring. You're only going to get 29 to 31 minutes of Giannis most nights. But still, I mean, it's quite the show just watching him cook and learn, really. You see him learn a lot, too. He still makes a decent amount of mistakes. You can tell he's still getting kind of feeling himself out still. I mean, he used to be literally a baby deer learning how to walk. He's farther along, but there's still some polishing to be done. So that part of it is fun, too, if you watch him often. But just taking in the dominance, I mean, he's putting up like 30, 10, 5, whatever a night. I mean, it's awesome to watch. And there's a lot of fun characters on this team outside of Giannis, but Giannis alone, like, I feel like that makes them a fun team to watch. So it just seems like an outdated take to me.
No, I, you know, all jokes aside, I think I was flaming you a little bit. I called it up. I mean, it's like a backhanded compliment to me because early on in my life and when I was more of a casual fan, people used to call the Spurs with Tim Duncan and Manu and Tony Parker and, you know, obviously Popovich running the show, and even Kawhi Leonard was joked about being a robot having no personality. But the more and more I fell in love with basketball and the more I got to know it, like, the Spurs were legitimately fun to watch, especially the way they would just tactically destroy their opponents. And I went to see the Bucks play the Cavs, and it was like watching grown men play boys when I was in Milwaukee. And it's just in person, and then watching them on TV whenever I watch them, I think they're a delight. And like you said, they dominate teams this year. They're second in the league in offensive rating, and they're first in the league in defensive rating. And like, I don't know, I guess maybe it's just me being the general optimist I am, but like, I could see how a lot of people took offense to the comment. But at the same time, if you want to draw a comparison to the Bucks, like, maybe they're not the sexiest team. Maybe they're not the Lakers or with that marquee names and matchups outside of Giannis. But I think, I don't know, if you could end up being like the Spurs where you build a legitimate dynasty and all things considered Giannis stays here, like, shit, I'd let everyone say my team's boring until the day I die if I have a bunch of rings under my belt, you know?
Oh, absolutely. But I mean, I think it's a funny comparison. It's a good comparison because I don't know if you're aware of this, but in a recent on the Woj pod, which I mean, who doesn't listen to the Woj pod, right? John Horst went on there to talk about all things Bucks and his own rise. And he talked about the Spurs are very deliberately a comp for the Bucks, you know, the same small market. They certainly hope that they can build around Giannis the way those Spurs teams built around Tim Duncan. Same kind of model of player, I think a lot of people think. I mean, Giannis certainly more flashy. I think Giannis, you know, could end up having even a better career than Tim Duncan, which is a wild thing to say. It's possible. We'll see. But I think he's certainly on course to put himself in a pretty high stratosphere of all-time players. Far from it right now, but he could get there. But, I mean, taking Coach Mike Budenholzer to this Bucks team, it's not an accident that he was a Pop disciple and he spent so long on those Spurs teams. And, you know, it's very deliberate. I mean, there's also George Hill, who was on the Spurs for a while, is on this team now. So I think that's very much the model. And I think they've pretty much admitted that now. I mean, this is something I talked about last year on Eurostep, was like, that would be the goal. You know, they're not going to be the Lakers. They're not going to be probably not even going to be the Warriors, in part because of market, which everyone wants to point to, but in part because Giannis doesn't really give a damn about recruiting. Giannis doesn't care that much. Giannis is a very loyal guy. I think it's a plus and a minus in this age of everybody teaming up. It seems like a minus, but I think the consistency, you know, the continuity of this Bucks team is pretty much unprecedented throughout all the other contenders, the true contenders, at least in the NBA. So it'll be interesting to see the kind of dividends that pays in this postseason and going forward. But it's a very different vibe. It is very Spurs-esque in that it's like, we've got our guys. We're going to develop. We'll add around the... It doesn't seem like the Bucks are that interested in turning everything on its head. It seems like they're interested in building and continuing to build. And it's fun to watch. It's refreshing to see a team go about it a little bit differently than some of these other, you know, the LA teams or whoever else, or the Nets just going after, like, how can we get more superstars? The Bucks are kind of like, we've got enough superstars for now.
I mean, I absolutely agree with it. And I think, refreshing is a good way to put it. And I think No, I'm pretty bullish on the Bucks. I think you know personally, and people who follow me on Twitter know that, like, I think Chris Middleton is a delight, and if you could clone him 29 times and put him on every NBA team, you'd make every NBA team better. Like, I like the way this Milwaukee team's constructed. It's just, like you said, they don't have the brand appeal, I guess, if you want to say. Maybe, like, part of that is, like, people were worried about how NBA numbers are dipping, but I guess you kind of answered my question for me. It's just like Giannis doesn't really seem to care. He just wants to go out there and ball and win. And the Bucks are kind of just a bunch of good guys who all are locked in on the same mission, which is definitely refreshing. Because I think the other thing is, in this day and age, especially coming from a guy who has watched the Cavs make the finals for 4 years in a row, you don't see Milwaukee making the headlines for all the wrong reasons. They kind of fly under the radar, which is weird in itself because there was never a dull moment with the Cavs. And there's speculation, like the Clippers are an example, that are falling apart internally at this point. And it's just, I don't know, refreshing. I just keep coming back to refreshing to say, like, Milwaukee's just, no pun intended, bucking the trend here where they just kind of do their own thing. And historically, they could be one of the greatest teams ever by the time the season's over. And it's just, I don't know. Do you agree with that sentiment? It's just the Bucks just kind of keep doing their thing. And, you know, whatever, as long as you win a championship, it doesn't matter.
Well, I think they should keep doing their thing regardless of results. I'm a process over results person, and I think a franchise built around a star player like the Bucks obviously are around Giannis, you don't need to kowtow per se, but you need to adapt to that star's personality and kind of let it – it's going to flow through your franchise regardless. So I think it's smarter to just embrace it. I think the no drama is the flip side of the – like the, you know, the continuity, the we're going to worry about ourselves mindset of a franchise. I think that they kind of go hand in hand. I mean, there's Giannis has never, you know, shopped like his teammates. Like, all right, Dante, you had a good run. Now let's see how good of a trade chip you can become. Like, it's just not something that you could really see happening. But just I want to talk about quickly what you mentioned about Giannis doesn't seem interested in it. Here's a quote from him from last year. The Matt Velasquez of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who does terrific Bucks coverage. This is just Giannis talking about his background and stuff before his MVP. A lot of people say that I can be the face of the league. Lately, people have told me, the closest people, you know, my family, my girlfriend, my mom, my brothers, people say, not them, he's saying, they say, people say, just to be clear. I cannot be the face of the league because I'm not American. I don't have the American culture in me. I sat back and thought about that. Should I have a little bit more American swag? Should I come with a suit to the game? Should I be more Americanized? But man, if I can't be the face of the league being me, I don't want to be the face of the league. That's pretty much it. I love that quote then. I think I love it even more now. I would argue he probably will end up being the face of the league, especially in the post-LeBron NBA, if that ever actually happens. But I think the fact that he's not that worried about it is a great thing for him and for the Bucks.
No, I absolutely agree, and it's actually kind of an interesting thing just going forward to see how this goes, because like you said, it's going to be weird to say that there's going to be a post-LeBron NBA, at least in our lifetimes.
But I don't even know if I can really believe it yet, but...
Yeah, I don't know, but Father Time gets all of us, is like everyone says, and LeBron finally showed weakness last year, so I think his time might be coming soon, and Kawhi might overlap with him, so it'd be cool to see, though. You have like two European guys like Giannis and then Luka Doncic, and Dallas just kind of becoming the new faces of the league. Like, I think that the league is headed in a good direction. And, you know, actually, I think this is a good point for us to wrap up before we jump into our next point, where we talk a little bit more about how teams like Milwaukee and Giannis aren't really getting the proper credit they deserve by the national media and the attention. And, like, I guess I did say they don't make the headlines for all the wrong reasons, but there is one reason they make the headlines, and it's definitely rubs a lot of Bucks fans the wrong way. So we'll be right back, and we with more Locked On Cavs. Stay tuned.
Hey guys, Evan here. Let me get really serious here for a second. Are you the type of fan that knows football so well that you could choose any game and call it? Well, my bookie is the place for you, because they let you turn all your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. Between football season, NBA, and the start of college basketball season, it's time to get off the sideline and get into action with my bookie. If you're the kind of guy, or gal, who likes to bet on a little and win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So, If you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag, because no one gives you more ways to win. Tired of watching games from the couch with nothing to gain? MyBookie wants to get your mind off everything else and get back on the game. If you join us right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That's right. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Cha-ching. Just use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, we're back. Ty, like we were just talking about, the Bucks and Giannis kind of fly under the radar. I mean, Giannis is incredible. Like, I'd be lying if you said you didn't see his highlights going on most major social media apps. But for the most part, like, most people aren't hyping up the Bucks like they do the Lakers or the Clippers or even like a marginal team like, I don't even know, the Nets at this point, just because they could make the playoffs, but they're not good enough as presently constructed to make it very far. But when the Bucks do make major, major headlines, it always feels like it's just around the one major thing, and that's pre-agency with Giannis. Stephen A. Smith, well, I think it was on First Take the other day, said that if Giannis made it to Golden State, like, they would be a powerhouse. And then people were quickly pointing out the fact that Giannis isn't a free agent this summer, but for some reason, everyone's just kind of going with the assumption that it's only inevitable that he's leaving. And I guess as a guy who's more tuned in with the team and who's talking and interacting with fans and just like is more involved in this on a day-to-day basis compared to me, like what read do local fans like in Milwaukee and guys like you who are involved in the team just kind of feel about this whole phenomenon where people are already trying to predestined Giannis out of Milwaukee?
Oh, for sure. Everyone's super annoyed about it, as you can imagine. I mean, it's very irritating. I mean, some of my like highest like retweet or like commented on tweets ever have been about this very thing. So I think not just Bucks people, but all over, people are very irked by this. Like, I've noticed a lot of folks, like other smart, fun basketball people that I follow and interact with, will retweet or quote tweet or comment on these things the same way I do, basically, in that, like, come on, like, talk about basketball. Don't waste time with this, you know, this nonsense, especially when, as you pointed out, I mean, I think Stephen A. took a question, like, randomly on Twitter, and then ESPN decided to run with it and, like, give it some more play. Mm-hmm. I don't really know why. I don't know what it does for them besides just more reach or whatever, but it was about this summer. Like, what if Giannis goes to join Golden State this summer? Like, yeah, it's not possible for a number of reasons. It's not happening. I think it's just very frustrating to focus on that stuff when you, if you go back and look through, at least at that point, I went back ESPN's feed for like 4 days. And the only thing close to Bucks coverage besides that, which is hardly true Bucks coverage, was a highlight of Jason Tatum playing against the Bucks in a game the Bucks won to solidify their hold on top of the Eastern Conference. So in that sense, it's very frustrating. Like, you know, at least if you're going to do that, at least talk about what's actually happening as well. I mean, in an ideal world, they would stick to, you know, basketball and things actually going on and not such a wild focus on next year, 2 years down the road, et cetera. Because, I mean, it's so undervalues what's going on the court if that's the focus. If June and July are the focus, then why even play the games in between? Like, I think we need to recenter how we look at basketball a lot of times. But I will say, I think everyone in Milwaukee, every Bucks fan, and certainly the front office, is very grateful for the way Giannis is handling this. Mm-hmm. There's been, I think, legitimate stories that came out about, you know, him talking about as far as it went was, you know, if the Bucks fell short of making the finals, it would be more likely for Giannis to think about leaving. It wasn't even like, you know, he's gone. It was like, that was as extreme as it got. And both times he reacted angrily and said like, no, like that's not the case, whatever. And kind of rebuffed that. So I think everyone is very glad that he is really fueling this fire. He's not fueling this fire whatsoever. I mean, it's very nice. Like, and you can kind of tell how good the Bucks have been, how he just doesn't talk about it. I mean, he just, you know, I think, was it Michael Lee or was it somebody else who wrote, you know, he always just like kind of graciously declines to answer those questions. He just won't even talk about it. I think that's kind of made a lot of people shut up about it, at least until the Stephen A. thing, which is kind of a miracle, but it still gets brought up a good amount. And it's just annoying every time because there's nothing there to go on. Like, it's, what's the point in talking about it if there's no impetus to talk about it? Like, you're just literally making stuff up at that point.
No, I absolutely agree with that. And now I'm actually curious because he's not a free agent this summer, but next summer. And I mean, all jokes aside, I review every now and then saying that the Cavs are going to snatch him up in 2021. But are you mentally prepared for the shitstorm? It's my podcast, so I'll swear that's going to come when people start speculating on where Giannis will go if the Bucks fall short this postseason. And I mean, I guess just to draw a parallel, like, I remember after the Cavs, I think after they lost the finals against Golden State, the Kevin O'Connor piece came out with the Ringer about how LeBron was already eyeing heading to LA. And then in his final year with Cleveland, you heard every single day that it was inevitable LeBron was going to sign with the Lakers. And then the Cavs actually helped the Lakers clear cap space by trading them Isaiah Thomas. And, you know, it just added even more reckless speculation. It's just like, I kind of resigned myself to the fact that he was gone no matter what. I didn't know if it was going to be LA. I actually went on the record and got dragged for a little bit by mentions about how, like, he shouldn't sign with the Lakers, but whatever. You know, I was young and wild back then, just older and bitter now. But are you, like, you go, I mean, Ty, you're a smart guy when it comes to basketball insight. And again, everyone subscribe to his Patreon. You'll become such a smarter basketball fan because of it. This is, like I said in the cold open, the gun's not to my head. I genuinely mean, and I adore all of Ty's analysis when it comes to basketball. But are you ready to go up to bat every single day when it's going to become a shitstorm where people are going to say Giannis is going to, like, New York or Toronto? I know Toronto's the boogeyman because of Masai, but I don't know. Are you prepared for that possibility where, unless he for some reason signs an extension with the Bucks within the foreseeable future, just to kind of shut this narrative up completely?
Well, I mean, for some reason, like, it wouldn't be to his detriment to sign the Supermax extension. No. He's already eligible. It's the exact same as if he would wait to hit free agency and then sign a max deal with the Bucks. So it's 5 years, absolute maximum possible in the first year, and huge raises, 8% or 8% instead of 4%, I think, after that. So it wouldn't be costing him anything to shut anybody up. Of course, it's his decision and everything else. I hope he signs it right away, because then, I mean, then he's under contract for 6 more years and it really stops being a talking point. But if he doesn't, if the Bucks were to fall short this year, I don't know if you can ever truly be ready for it. I will say, it's going to be relentless, even more so. But I mean, honestly, I've kind of already made peace with, like, it could go either way. At least at this point, I mean, I think we're just about at the trade deadline. He's not going to force his way out 2 years before anything crazy like that. I don't think he'll force his way out at all. You know, if he plays out his second contract and then after 8 years with the Bucks goes elsewhere in unrestricted free agency, it would obviously suck a whole lot. It would be terrible. But I mean, that's the way of the league, I guess. That's just the way it goes. But at this point, to be honest, and I'm opening myself up to getting dragged later, and I'm ready to love again just in time to get hurt again, I guess. I really do think he's going to stay. Okay. I've seen this sentiment a lot. I mean, Sam Esfandiari, Warriors coverage over at the Light Years pod, terrific Warriors follow, one of a very few. He has resigned himself to the same. And I've seen, you know, from Anthony Doyle, who covers the Raptors at Raptors Republic, I've seen he now has said as well, you know, I hope he stays, and I think he's going to stay. So, I mean, the jokes and the memes are going to keep coming always, of course. I mean, Steph giving Giannis the jersey, whatever else. But I think there is kind of this sentiment that, like, nothing is leaking. He keeps saying over and over how happy he is. I mean, the team is so, so good. I mean, they're on pace to win 71 games right now. It's about as good as you can feel right now. So I guess even if he does end up deciding later on not to leave, at least you can be grateful for avoiding the absolute, you know, S storm, as you said earlier. You know, at least for as long as possible, the focus was really on basketball. Once he gets to free agency, that's his decision. He can do whatever he would like, but at least he's not, you know, running the train off the tracks in the middle of the year like Anthony Davis did or some of these other stars have done. I mean, not randomly saying I decided I don't care about this contract anymore like Paul George did. So
yeah,
it certainly could be worse. And but I really do. I really am stupidly optimistic.
I would agree with you. I think you have every reason to be optimistic. I mean, I like to crack jokes most of the time, and I do get real every now and then on Twitter, but I'm there to have fun and just meme people to death and just remind Justin Rowan that he has the inferior of the two Cavaliers podcasts. But no, I think it would be, I think he's going to stay in Milwaukee. I ultimately do. And I think it'd be for the better of the league that he does, because just to kind of wrap this up, there's like a growing concern throughout the league that there's not like the on-court product isn't really being advertised or marketed really well. And the fear is, at least with the national media, is this whole player movement and player empowerment thing. And it's, I mean, I'm going to call her out by name. It's spearheaded by Rachel Nichols at ESPN. And like, it's just frustrating in the fact that people complain about how numbers are down, but like they're chomping at the bit to watch these big stars go to the big markets. Like, I think overall, if Giannis stays, and I do think he does, like this is going to help the league long term, because a small market team like Milwaukee, who is stuck in the Midwest, and I mean, Chicago's in your guys' backyard. It's like a 40-minute train ride away, I think.
Yeah,
just or something about. Like just about. And because I just remember that when Jabari Parker got drafted by the Bucks, he said, "I can still go to Chicago." It's like for some reason that memory just unlinked in the back of my head. But no, it's just like you have. I mean, obviously the Bulls are a competition, but the Bulls are a joke. And I think it's good for the league overall if smaller teams like the Bucks and, you know, hopefully maybe the Cavs, if they can figure things out, or LeBron just comes back again, probably the latter of the two. I think it's good for the league, and I imagine you feel the same way. Like keeping Giannis in Milwaukee and in small market territories where you have a perennial contender like that, like it's just going to help the on-court product, and maybe eventually casual fans come around to the idea that not every good player has to go to Los Angeles or New York.
No, I certainly think it would be for the best of the league, and I think like the results from the past years of the NBA kind of confirm that. I mean, I think now a lot of people would consider the Warriors to be in a big market. Now they moved to San Francisco, everything else, but I mean, those four finals against Cleveland had, I think, the highest ratings ever, or close to the best ratings ever, the most watched finals ever. I mean, it was Cleveland versus Oakland. It wasn't New York.
Yeah, but do you think it was more so Steph Curry, who is an extremely marketable player, versus LeBron, who was being questioned for his who's LeBron, but his goatness was being questioned at times when Steph was out there. So do you think it was more of that, or
do you think, for sure, like, I do. But I think like the point of it is that the basketball story is what matters. That's what people care about. It doesn't have to be LA, New York, or even LA, Boston, which Boston is like, it's small market, big market terminology is so tricky. Like, I don't know how people would consider Boston, but like that's like the marquee matchup of the NBA for a whole decade. And then kind of again, you know, last decade or two decades ago now, wow, we are old. It's the 2020s. but no, I mean, it just shows you that, I mean, people learn about the players and they care about the players, but I think you can learn about a team too. And I think a lot of people who didn't have any reason to care about the Golden State Warriors for a very, very long time learned about that team and became enamored with that team when they rose to greatness, so to speak. So there's no reason that can't happen with just about any team, the Bucks certainly included. And as far as Giannis staying there being good for the league, I know that the big media markets are the ones that people typically care about, but I think the NBA does and has strong reason to care about the small markets too, because like imagine you're a fan of the Hornets or the Pacers or whoever, and you just see all these stars leave over and over, and then you get one, and then like Devontae Graham or Victor Oladipo decides to, and I mean the Pacers went through it with Paul George already, but decide that they don't want to be around anymore and they want to get traded. I mean, if it happens enough times in a row, I have to imagine a lot of fans on the line of casual fan and maybe even more dedicated fans would kind of get sick of it and just throw their hands up and go, what's the point? You know, why are we the training grounds for the LA Stars and New York Stars and whoever else? I mean, shout out the Knicks for somehow in all of this getting absolutely no one except Julius Randle. But I do think it would be bad for the league if every single star kept on going to these big markets over and over. And I think for a long time, it really hadn't happened, you know, until two summers ago, LeBron goes to LA kind of alone, and their team still stinks. And then obviously last year, a lot of guys go to Brooklyn, a lot of guys go to the Clippers, but and Anthony Davis goes to the Lakers too. Before that, it had been a while, and I hope that ends up being more of an aberration, and we get, you know, guys building their own things and their own markets and new teams on the horizon and everything else. Like, I would be very bummed if Memphis didn't end up being a hell of a team for like a decade based on the core they've been able to build.
No, I absolutely agree. And no, I think you summed it up pretty well. It's just, I think I have the same sentiments as you, just because we both cover teams that are in a smaller market. Granted, the Cavs went to four straight NBA finals and they're still making the headlines for all the wrong reasons. Slugs, not thugs. That was almost a Freudian slip. No, but I agree. And just, I hope going forward, it's just like you said, it's a bit of an aberration and just people start cultivating their market and everything. And I think Milwaukee's in a good place. I really do. And having Giannis as the face of the league, like you said, it's obviously not like a huge deal to him if he is or isn't, but I think he is destined to become that. And I think keeping him in Milwaukee is just only going to help smaller market teams. Like you said, Milwaukee, Cleveland, Indiana, and Indiana, Charlotte. I mean, hell, Oklahoma City is, can't really call them snake bitten because they stole their team from Seattle, but they've watched a lot of star players just straight up say they don't want to be there anymore. And it's happened to them a few times now. I mean, Russ is the exception, but that just kind of felt like inevitable. But no, I totally agree. And I think it's just a weird time in the NBA where, well, there's a bunch of camps where one is just trying to push for everybody to go to the biggest markets. And then you have people like us and many others who are just saying, like, let's keep things the way they are and let's try and cultivate the other 26-ish teams, depending on who you talk to, if you don't want to just, if you just want to lump it into the two LA teams and the two New York teams. But we will be back with the final segment. We're going to talk about something a little lighter, a little more Cavsy related. I know we talked about Channing Frye before, but no, don't touch that dial. We're just getting started. And thanks again for tuning in to Locked On Cavs.
Hey guys and ghouls, Evan here again. I'm the only Locked On Cavs host here today, but I have another something serious to talk to you guys about. We talk about physical fitness a lot, but there's another side of the game that's just as important. I'm talking about mental fitness. Calm, the number one app for sleep and meditation, has teamed up with LeBron James. I think you guys know him pretty well at this point, huh, Cavs fans? To help you train your mind. LeBron and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle in your body, and Calm can help you train your brain so that you sleep better, have less stress, and perform at your best. And for LeBron James, sleep is an important part of his mental fitness routine. He says, "Getting good sleep and finding time to rest is one of the most valuable things I can do for my body and mind." And if you head to calm.com/lockedonNBA, you'll get 40% off a Calm Premium membership. 40%? What? With Calm, you have access to the nature scenes LeBron loves, like rain on leaves, and so much more, and sleep stories and meditations. So, for a limited time, our listeners can join LeBron using Calm with a 40% discount to an annual membership at calm.com/lockedonNBA. Unlock content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Get started at calm.com/lockedonNBA. That's calm.com/lockedonNBA.
And we're back. Ty, I'll be frank, I don't pay attention to the Canton charge at all. And, just a quick side note for everyone, like I said in the beginning of this, Ty's other passion is the Wisconsin Herd, and he gives excellent coverage and has a lot of fun insider scoops that, you know, not a lot of reporters get. And there's not a lot of guys who are as passionate as Ty, at least when it comes to G League coverage. And I guess my question is, like I said, I flame you a lot on Twitter with stuff, and the one time I looked up the charge was when they beat the Herd, and I think they blew the doors off them. I don't even remember the score, but that's the last time I did. But there are some legitimate players out there that might deserve a shot at the next level. And to make this more of a Cavsy-related podcast so Chris doesn't get mad while he's in Florida, Cleveland is a bit of a – not a bit. They are a bad team, and they're starving for depth at the moment, especially on the wing. And I guess – in your experience of watching the Herd and, I mean, even the Charge or other teams throughout the G League, do you think there are any like players that you think the Cavs could be kicking the tires on and maybe fans could kind of get excited about, then ultimately disappointing because it doesn't happen?
Well, that's going to happen, I think, regardless of anything. I'm actually a little bummed. Earlier in the season, I was talking to some Cavs folks, not like sources, like, you know, writers, yeah, writers online, fans, podcast hosts, etc. And I was kind of plugging a herd guard named Rajon Tucker, who was just dunking on everyone, scoring all over, working on the outside shot, getting some of them to fall for sure. And he did end up getting a contract, but ended up getting signed to Utah. And it was actually a bit of a bummer because here's a Cavs tie-in for you. He hasn't gotten minutes, and I think he would have, except basically the exact same time the Jazz swung the Jordan Clarkson deal. And Clarkson is very much like a developed NBA version, probably, of what you expect Rajon Tucker to be, that scoring punch off the bench. I think Tuck was so exciting to watch. I think he's more exciting to watch than Clarkson, but just because he literally dunks all over him. He beat Donovan Mitchell in a dunk contest, I think, when they were in high school. So that was like a fun tie-in of him going there. But so he hasn't really played because, I mean, obviously he's going to be behind Clarkson now. So, but I mean, there's still some exciting players in the G League for sure out there. I see that. I think we see more call-ups now than ever. In the two games between, so Canton and Oshkosh, the Wisconsin Herd, excuse me, played back-to-back games. As you said, the Charge won the first one. It was looking like a horrible blowout. The Herd did get kind of close, so the Charge ended up winning by 12. Levi Randolph, who just got the two-way in Cleveland, right?
I don't think he is on the Cavs two-way deal anymore, though.
They cycled around. That's right. But yeah, I think he was for this game. I actually didn't expect him to play. I figured he'd be up in Cleveland because they were down bodies, but he did. So he went 8-for-13, shot 3-for-6 from the field, actually double-doubled. So he had 23, 10, 5, and 2 steals. So good game for him. I mean, he certainly seemed deserving of the two-way. But, you know, it's hard to say, like, which players are going to be exciting for which teams. I think Jalen Adams on the Herd, if there's another call-up, he would probably be from Wisconsin. He'd be the next one. Very much a floor general, dynamic scoring point guard who his three-point shot this year has been unbelievable. Mm-hmm. He's just been knocking them down. So he hasn't, I think, gotten the same amount of attention because the Herd often have Frank Mason III on the team. He's one of the Bucks two-ways. And he starts at point guard, of course, whenever he's around. But he's been out with an injury, so Jalen's gotten to play more. So I think he could go. Otherwise, Jamario Jones, he's another sort of Cavs tie, played with LeBron on the Lakers last year. Jamario's header, I think, still on Twitter is him and LeBron kind of celebrating after Jamario did something. I think LeBron was already taking his medical leave for the year at this point. But he's good, though. He's kind of like we call him a mini Draymond. He went for a triple-double very obviously and aggressively in the last game. Didn't end up getting it. He's a couple assists short, but that kind of player moves the ball, actually finishes really well in pick and roll, can shoot a bit, was for a long time, might still be, I need to look, the G League's leading rebounder, although he's like 6'5". So clearly, like, he's one of those guys where I think if he's 6'8", 6'9", he's probably been in the league his whole career, but the size has kind of deterred teams. And whenever you're a young player kind of about to find your footing and you get traded, as he did from the Lakers to facilitate the Anthony Davis move, I think it makes it really tough. So he'd be the other guy I think could get a look. But otherwise, I mean, the Bucks have mostly featured Bucks players, so it's been hard to kind of identify too many prospects. But certainly I would say that I think they're out there. And I think if through trades or whatever the Cavs do end up opening up some roster spots, they would be smart to look at either some of their own G League guys or some on other teams. I mean, anybody who's not on a two-way or assigned is a free agent that you can just go poach. So I certainly think they'd be smart to do that and get a look at more players and see what they find.
No, I see what you mean for sure. And I guess this just kind of jumps in my next question. Chris and I talked about this a few days ago. And it's just an interesting concept where the whole two-way contract, I think, is a really smart idea where you can have guys that are linked to the team that you can send back and forth between the NBA team and their G League affiliate. I think off the top of my head, isn't it Denver, Portland, and I'm forgetting the third team who doesn't have like a strict affiliate.
I think it's just two now. I think it's just those two at this point.
Oh, perfect then. But either way, we kind of talked about how like during the LeBron years, the Cavs never really utilized their two-way deals at all, and now it's just like we don't really have players we're looking at now, because let's be frank, that team last year was tailor-made veteran-wise to play alongside LeBron James. Then it had Colin Sexton and Jetty Osman. And I mean, Larry Nance, I guess you could consider part of that young foundation, but youngish, air quotes there. But there's just a lot of odd-fitting pieces. And Ante Zizek, too, I guess I kind of always forget about him. Shout out to Baby Shaq. But Chris and I were like talking about it kind of feels like it's counterintuitive on the Cavs part where they had to see this coming, at least where the end was on its way and maybe they could have utilized their two-way deals better. And like, do you see that with other teams as well? Because like I said, I'm an idiot when it comes to like paying attention to G League hoops, but I feel like teams like Milwaukee use their two, because they're just like a smart, well-run organization. Miami obviously uses their G League and their development program really well with Sioux Falls. And I don't know, like, do you think the two-way deal isn't being properly utilized by a lot of teams in the NBA right now? Because I'm starting to get that vibe just the way, like, looking at Cleveland, at least, like, they're trying to cultivate young talent in places, but they can't find anything that sticks.
No, I certainly think a lot of teams, and honestly, for the first 2 years of its existence, this is year three, I don't think the Bucks really use it that well either. You know, no shade to any of their two-way guys, but like an example here, Notre Dame's Bonzi Colson was on a two-way with the Bucks for a while, and he, you know, he could play. He wasn't a bad G League player, but he was like kind of, you know, also shorter in stature, but played like a big guy, so... And not a very good shooter. So immediately you're kind of going, well, he's not really a guy you want to play NBA minutes now. And I don't really project how he could ever be, a reliable NBA contributor for the Bucks. Why? What's the point of signing him to that deal? I think that my favorite two-way before this year that Milwaukee had signed was probably Trayvon Duvall. And if you kind of remember that name, he went to Duke and was the first ever one-and-done player from Duke to not get drafted. He holds the dubious distinction of that. And I forget where he's at now. He's with the Rockets for a while. But that one I got because it's like, well, you can lock him up to and just see what the potential is like, see what the talent is like. I think that's, if I was a middling to worst team, a.k.a. probably the Cavaliers, no shade, that's what I would do. You know, just take the best bets you can. You know, if you don't want to lose a G League player, want to see what they are, keep them safe, I would try to sign those kind of two ways, those high upside sort of deals. But right now, the Bucks this year, I mean, I think a lot of it is, like as we saw with their NBA, with their typical contract free agency, a lot of people wanted to play with Giannis. Frank Mason and Cam Reynolds. Cam doesn't get as much attention, but those are tremendous two ways. I think two of the best I've ever seen. And it's like perfectly on the edge of they're still young and developing and have upside, but either of those guys could play minutes for the Bucks if they had to. Cam is a 3-and-D wing, and Frank Mason, is a capable point guard who also has been shooting really well. So I think like that is the ideal, but I don't think the Cavs could sign Frank Mason to a two-way. Like I think there's a lot of organizational stuff that happens for that. So yeah. I think like those high upside kind of unheralded players certainly would be the best. And honestly, like, it's going to sound harsh, I'm not going to endear myself to my friends playing in the G League right now. Cycle them out a little bit. The NBA days prorate. There's no real cost. I mean, in terms of there's no salary cap cost. I don't think they count toward the cap at all. So, you know, see what you've, if you had a guy for a month or two, haven't really seen anything, give somebody else a shot, you know, see if you can find somebody else and keep the talent around. And those guys enter a restricted free agency, I think, after a while. So you really get them into the org. And if you're trying to desperately develop young talent, that's two more roster spots you can use to do that.
No, I'd agree with that. And I guess just to wrap this up, like, and you're saying in the aspect that like a team like Cleveland, they focus solely on younger players for development and they don't go after a guy like John Holland, who I think is, I'm trying to see it. Yeah, he's in his, he's 31. John Holland's 31, and he was one of the Cavs 2A guys for a little bit there.
I remember that, actually, because they came to Oshkosh and they were playing, and I was just looking at the box score, or the rosters before the game, and I was like, wait, this guy was born in 80 what?
Yeah, so...
They have a 2A who was born in the 80s?
No, exactly, because I would... God rest his soul, Fred McLeod and Austin Carr would talk like pregame broadcasts and stuff. They talk about how John Holland is doing really well in the G League and like we'll get the call up. And usually when Ty Lue was still the coach, the last game of the season, either LeBron like Tristan Thompson would probably start to keep his Iron Man streak alive, but he would play 5 minutes. LeBron would probably sit. Kyrie and Kevin would sit. Most major players heading in the playoffs would sit. And you'd get to see guys like John Holland who get his time to shine, and it's a bit of a feel-good moment, but like I'm like, oh, wow, maybe he has young potential. And then I like just did a quick Google search. I'm like, oh, excuse me? He's not a rookie at all. This is more of a finished product fighting for his life here. So I guess that's – I'm assuming that's what you mean. Like for a team like the Cavs, you just kind of cycle through these younger guys and see who sticks. And I think Dean Wade would be one of them who looked not too bad on the infamous West Coast Cavs road trip. And it's just, I don't know. I feel like it's something that teams that are rebuilding that quite frankly just suck, like Cleveland, don't utilize properly. And it's just kind of disheartening because I think what the NBA, at least I hope, is trying to do is try and turn the G League into more of a proper development system where you have guys, like you said, who go undrafted, but a team locks him up right away and then just puts him in their program and just commits to developing him and getting him adequate acquainted with the system and everything. It's just, I don't know. It's just like, it's disheartening to say, because I think the Cavs, if they utilize their development system, like Miami, who churns out a lot of those uncut gems, and shout out to Chris, cause he loves that movie so much. But, it's just frustrating, I guess is the point I'm getting at, where I don't know. I think you and I both agree that maybe teams aren't using this properly yet, and hopefully they start doing it in the future.
I mean, you're the best example of, you know, is it possible teams aren't using the G League correctly? Two teams still don't have a G League team. Like, it's been years. Get on it. Like, so I think definitely you can make the case very easily that there's teams out there. And those two, Portland and Denver, still get two ways. They just go to random other orgs. But, like, imagine the loss of, like, scouting in the G League by not having your own team. I mean, if you want to develop a guy, let's say an NBA, like a more NBA-ready player on your two-way, all of a sudden, he's got to go play in somebody else's system. Like, it's the opposite of ideal. I mean, that's the herd this year is first in the G League. They're 20-5 right now. It's the second best start ever to a G League season. And they play exactly like the Bucks. There's a lot of they didn't the first 2 years. Now they do. And like Dragan Bender has been able to go back and forth. And he talks about, no, it's the same. Like, it's obviously there's a lot of differences, but on the court, the way we play, even without Giannis down here, it's very, very similar. It makes it easy to go back and forth. So, I mean, teams lose out, I think, just on so many different opportunities, from rehab to scouting to everything else. So I think certainly every team, but especially the ones on the bottom of the standings right now, would be very smart to take a second look at that G League team and try to get a lot more out of it.
No, I absolutely agree. And I think I'm going to start being a better fan by tuning in more to Charge games and getting on my high horse about certain players that might need to get the call up, because it is a crime. Not a crime per se, but it's a bummer to watch Dante Exum have to play the three off the bench for Cleveland in a very crappy loss to the Knicks, when there's probably a guy in Canton who could have done the job and fit the position better. And for whatever reason, they didn't sign Alfonso Kenny to a second 10-day deal. But you know what? That's just me grinding my axe for another day. we're going to have to wrap this up though, Ty. I really, again, appreciate you coming on.
Everyone, again, subscribe to him on Patreon.
But before I let you go, Ty, is there anything you want to plug, anything you want to share? Where can people find you online? That's the other important thing as well, because social media consumes everything nowadays.
It really does. First, thank you so much for all the kind words and for having me on. I really do appreciate it, Evan. This has been long overdue, and I'm glad we got to make it happen. I'm sure I will be back. Hopefully, I will be back before not too long. But you can find me on Twitter at Ty Windisch. It's spelled TiWindisch. Also on Instagram and Facebook at Ty Windisch NBA. If you are a boomer or boomer adjacent and would like to follow me on there, I link all my work, especially on Twitter. But as you already mentioned, host of the Eurostep podcast. That's, you know, one of my, certainly my big NBA things right now. Otherwise, Ty Windisch NBA Patreon, you can find as well. And also actually write about the herd for local papers. So the Oshkosh Herald, shout out to them. So yeah, I think that's all for my plugs right now. But everybody listening to this, I mean, if you haven't already, please review, subscribe, rate, follow Evan and support Locked On Cavaliers, a tremendous, again, top two at least NBA Cavaliers podcast.
Number one. It's number one, but it's okay. I know you can't say it because Blue Wire is cutting you them checks, but I get it, man. I'll say it on your behalf. Don't worry. You're an unnamed source right now. But thanks again, Ty. I really appreciate it. And everyone, thanks for listening.
Chris will hopefully be back sometime this week, unless he just ditches me for Florida entirely. But we'll see. Cavs are back Thursday against Washington. And see you guys then. Stay warm and go Cavs.